Joe, let's talk. You know, we've been talking about Vanderbilt running the ball 75% of the time,
right,
and just Auburn's great ability on third down, holding opponents to a 14% conversion rate. You saw what happened when Tennessee was unable to make any plays through the air.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how good your line or running game is against a team like Auburn, you're not going to be able to do very much.
Well, you've got to stay out of third and long.
Yeah.
And if you look at their stats and break down all those third down situations, the vast majority of third downs have been third and seven or more that they've had the opponent offense in. If Vanderbilt's in that situation, they're in trouble. They have got to generate yards on first down and second down and be in third and manageable situations. If they can do that, you know, then you've got a chance. But if you don't, you're forced to be one-dimensional, and I don't think anybody's going to be very good one-dimensionally against Auburn.
And one thing Chris Nixon has done, you guys have seen it even more than I have, great decision-making. You know, a lot of times you got to know, you know, sort of when to pack it in,
right,
as opposed to trying to force something and give the ball away. And I think Chris has demonstrated a high football IQ. And let's face it, they don't have a lot of playmakers on offense. So at times you're going to have to give up a play.
And he's matured. I think that's a maturity level of a senior quarterback now, not trying to jam that ball into a pack of people or knowing to throw the ball away instead of trying to make a play that might be too difficult to make. And I think that plays into the turnover margin. They just haven't put the ball on the ground or turned it over that much.
One thing, too, though, you're talking about Vanderbilt opening things up with by connecting on some passes, especially early in the game. Guy's going to catch the football, and Chris puts it out there for him. We've seen that a couple times this year.
A lot of people underrated Chris's arm. You know, when they said, oh, he's a running quarterback. This kid's got an arm. He can throw it. And he's shown that on a couple of plays this year where he's thrown it on the run. That touchdown pass to Brandon Barden, you'll remember, mm-hmm, against South Carolina, was a little on-the-run 30-yard throw. So that's not really an issue. Having George Smith back will help. To have a big, tall receiver that can be back into the mix is going to help out. But you're right, Mark. They're going to have to do what they've been doing, and that's run the football, control the clock, and not turn it over.
Having seen them play against LSU, the other worry I have about Vanderbilt, if the front seven can't put pressure on Chris Todd,
mm-hmm,
he will get men open. Rod Smith, they've got some guys. Dunn is another guy that you've got to worry about. They've got speed at the wideout position. They've got guys who can make plays. Now, Todd doesn't have a great arm, and a lot of times he put too much air under the ball on some of those throws against LSU. But a lot of that was created by the pressure up front.
Yep.
And that's what concerns me a little bit. Can Vanderbilt put the heat on the Auburn quarterback?
The interesting thing when you look at the stats, too, is Vanderbilt's got 11 sacks this year. Eight players have registered the 11 sacks. It's not just a defensive end or a defensive lineman. They're coming from linebackers. Bruce Fowler's sending corners. He's sending safeties. And so that's worked really well. And we've talked about it. He's confident enough in this defense now to take some chances, and he'll continue to do that.
You want to stay over another segment?
Sure.
Break it down.
Well, we got five more minutes here.
We do still have five more minutes. I didn't see the clock.
I sneaked on. I am going to have a drink of this Purity chocolate milk, though.
Yes.
Good product
placement. It's darn good.
You can have Magic bring you by a plate of shrimp like you do for the football game.
A little early for shrimp, but perfect for chocolate milk.
All right. Well, you know, you're talking about, you know, blitzing from different angles and keeping the pressure on Auburn's quarterback, whichever one it might be at a particular time in that game. Do you think that serves Vanderbilt well, the sort of problems that Auburn's had getting things rolling with that spread offense that they're trying to do?
You know, it's been interesting to talk to all these people this week about Auburn's offense, because even you talk to people, I've done shows in several different cities in the state of Alabama, and everybody says, oh, their offense is atrocious. No, it's really not. They can move the football. Statistically, they're better than Vanderbilt in both categories. So I don't think you can call them atrocious. Now, they've struggled to score points.
Right.
But they've been able to move the football pretty regularly. So I think that, this is going to be an interesting challenge for Vanderbilt, because you do have to prepare for two different quarterbacks. Now, Burns, they both throw it, they both run it, but Todd's the better thrower of the two. Burns the better, more likely to run the football. So you've got to be prepared for both those changes.
We also brought up the fact that Vanderbilt runs fairly conservative schemes on both sides of the ball, but executes them, you know, very well. And again, we get back to defense, where Fowler likes to run a lot more zone, and which allows the defensive players, especially the guys in the secondary, to face the line of scrimmage and read their keys. They've
right.
been very adept at getting the jump on certain throws. And again, that's a strong suit, and that's one of the things that I think against Chris Todd, plays into Vanderbilt's favor. Obviously, the same with Cody Burns.
And, you know, the veteran secondary on a couple of occasions has sort of baited quarterbacks. You know, they've been able to sort of lay back and look like they've left an opening, and then, bang, there they go and pick off the pass. Ryan Hamilton did it on a couple of occasions last week. So, guys, I tell you what, we can X and O this all we want to, but when you get right down to it, there is this underlying theme in this game. None of us were born the last time Vanderbilt beat Auburn.
Mark might have been.
Mark might have been. No, I don't think so.
Now, what year? That
55.
Was 55. No, that was actually before me.
Now we haven't played them every year since then. We've only played them 13 times since 55. But historically, they haven't done very well against Auburn recently. In fact, a lot of the games haven't been close. So there's the certain element of history you have to get over as well.
I can tell you from personal experience, this campus is buzzing.
I've seen most of it.
Square foot this campus. And you know what? The women's lacrosse team looks great. They're out there practicing. Yeah. They're pulling a John Chaney out there practicing at 6 a.m. You got to love that. And just you can feel the buzz.
What's happening over on Fraternity Row, Frank?
Well, actually, I stopped in the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. A lot of going on over there. And I went to
the
EKG unit. And I, with the walk, I had to stop and just check the ticker. Yep. And it's fine.
I need to make a phone call because we have a search crew out looking for you. We need to get them back looking for Steve Fawcett.
And actually, I want to give a shout out to Dr. Jeff, who picked me up. I was stranded on the corner. And he was getting ready to deliver a baby this morning, but he had the time to just swoop me up and take me over here.
Delivers Frank and delivers the baby.
So if the OBGYN is always delayed for all the women out there, they could be picking up.
Did he spank you
washed
when he got
up
out of the
car? What's that?
Did he spank you when you got out of the car?
Yeah, his first delivery of the morning came in at like 6:05 and 2:30 or so.
Well.
And overdue.
Yeah.
And overdue.
Talk about the umbilical cord. I need, for these remotes, I need one.
What about LifeFly? Did you get a lot right on
that? Nah, I should have. That would have been even quicker.
You stop in and see Bobby for a few minutes?
Yeah, I talked to Bobby about the game plan. Everything looks good. Everything, all the hay's in the barn. So we're ready to go.
Joe brought up that just about every big game Vanderbilt has played in, even since you've been an announcer, the focus has always been on the other team. I brought up, remember when Lou Holtz came in for
96,
a Thursday night game? Thursday night game. Everything, it was all about Lou.
Oh, yeah.
You never knew about the other side. That was, I guess Yoder scored a touchdown in that game.
14-7, I think.
And Mark Edwards, I think, scored two for Notre Dame. But now you see the promos with Bobby Johnson in them. Now you see the promos with Jared Hawkins scoring a touchdown or one of the guys in the secondary picking off a pass. That's pretty cool.
It is cool. And I've been asked a lot, is this the biggest game that they've played since you've been here? And my answer has surprised people because it's been no. Is it the most visible? Yes. Is it the most talked about? Probably. Is it the most important? No. You know, I mean, they've played other games that probably meant more at the time. Now, if you win it, hindsight may go back and say, well, first time were 5-0 since World War II, pretty significant. So,
don't you think the sixth game or to get bowl eligible will be the most important game?
I think so. And they've had a couple of shots at that since we've been here and haven't been able to get over that hurdle. But there's no question that it's interesting. And I thought you mentioned it well. It's hard to believe that we're playing on a Saturday night and there are probably a lot more people focused on our game.
I think a lot of neutral
than on
people
a lot of
are
other
gonna
games.
Be watching the Vandy
I don't think there's any doubt.
And the Tennessee game, I believe, is on pay-per-view, so. It still doesn't matter. I'd much rather be at your place than at their place.
I'll be glad to be there, too.